Well, 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 I'm back. We are in the middle of this series called Love Your Neighbor. Everybody say Love Your Neighbor. We're in the middle of this series, and I got some good stories, some things I want to share that have been going on around Freedom Church about some of the things some of our staff and some of you have been doing. So how many of you want a good story this morning? All right, a couple of you. All right, I'm going to give them to you anyway. First and foremost, we got our media guy, Bryce. You know Bryce, he's always talking about Wi-Fi and got the cargo shorts on. You know Bryce? Yeah, Bryce the other night was mowing his grass, and he noticed that his neighbor's grass wasn't as neat and as tidy as his. So Bryce sneaks over and just continues with good gas mileage and starts mowing his neighbor's lawn, gave him the card. Oh, I got the card in the back pocket here. Gave him the card that said, I just wanted to love on you and show you love and to do something nice for you, and he did it. Isn't that awesome? Gabriel, isn't that great? That's just really cool. I mean, how many people are doing that today? Most of us are barely even mowing our own grass, much less somebody else's. So big kudos to Bryce there. We also have heard from some of our staff and from some of you that you made phone calls the first week to family, maybe a crazy uncle or a faraway aunt that you haven't connected to in a long time, and you made that connection, and it was a good conversation. It was probably something that needed to happen on a more regular basis. But through this series, we're able to prompt you to step out of your box and to do something you haven't done in a long time. How many of you say you made that same contact? You talked to a family member, an extended family member over that week. All right. You did that as well. Awesome. That was really, really cool. We also heard from someone through a message on, I think it was the Instagrams. How many of you got Instagram? Okay. We heard from Casey. Casey says she has a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. 2 sons, and that she stepped out and made blessing boxes in parentheses. I don't know what was in those blessing boxes, but Casey made some cookies and brownies and some different things, and she taught her 5-year-old and 7-year-old how to get out, love your neighbors, and deliver them from house to house in her neighborhood just to say, what's up? Right? That sounds good, doesn't it? On Wednesday night, right here in this church, if you don't know, we have Wednesday night service. Wednesday night, we had 175 people in this room that were all going crazy after God. It was really, really powerful on Wednesday night. And in that 175, we had 3 first-time guests. You know how they got here? They all received the card, Love Your Neighbor, because someone in this church stepped out of their box, gave them a card, and said, I love you, and I want to share my church with you. How awesome is that? None of you seem very impressed right now. But you might be impressed with this, because one of our own staff members, Emily's here. Emily, wave at everybody. I see you now in this service. Emily went all week and gave these awesome citations to different people on the staff. And on Wednesday, yours truly got an awesome citation from Emily, who works in her office. And in this citation, it says, to Kyle from Emily. And it's got these like check boxes of different things that she wants to recognize about how awesome that we are around here. Now, this was to support the coworkers, classmates, and colleagues, right? That we were all supposed to do this week. So she was listening to Pastor Kendall. She was paying attention. And she activated. This is what she checked off for me. She said, in the checkbox, excessive good hair days. I have a feeling, Laura, she was being a little sarcastic there. She also checked off, there's like 20 things you can check off. She also checked off spectacular uniqueness. I have to think she was being a little sarcastic there as well. She also checked off, and this one's a little creepy to me, popularity with children. I don't know if she thinks I've got candy in my drawer or free Wi-Fi. I don't know. I'm not trying to lure children in there, Emily. And then she checked this last one. It says skills to pay the bills. And I was like, all right, I got a lot of bills, so I may need to up that skill game so I can continue to pay that water bill, that electric bill, the bills that keep growing. But Emily did that. Thank you, Emily, for making us feel awesome and special. And those are the things that we're talking about in the series of stepping out of your box. If you remember 2 weeks ago, I started the series and I came up and talked to you about how church is what you give, not what you receive or get. I'm gonna try that again. I need some crowd participation. That 9 o'clock service, I've been in libraries more wild than that service. So I'm gonna need to step the game up. I'm gonna ask it again. The second, or 2 weeks ago, I said church is not about what you get, it's about what you give. That's exactly right. And we talked about reaching out to your family. Pastor Kendall last week, he talked to us about the woman who was caught in adultery. You remember that? And we were supposed to reach out to our classmates, colleagues, and coworkers. And how many of you raised your hand this morning and said, yeah, I did that. I stepped out of my box and I did something to love my neighbor. Thank you right there. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, yes, yes. Awesome. So here we are today, and I want to start a foundation for this message that I was going to put in my notes, a small foundation, but it's actually a large foundation because it's really a model that we see Jesus doing over and over. And in Matthew chapter 9, there's this story, this little spot in Matthew 9 where two blind men were crying out to Jesus. They were like, hey, Jesus, we need you. We need healing. We need life. We want to see. And Jesus, in response to those two blind men crying out to him, Jesus made the statement. He said, do you believe that I am able to do this? And I just thought, what a cool way to start this sermon today, this thought today of Jesus. Literally, can you just see him all bold and almost cocky, even though Jesus is not cocky, but you can just see like he bows his chest out a little bit and he's like, dude, I got this. I can heal you two blind men with just one word. Do you believe that I can do this? And maybe God's speaking that to some of us today before we ever getting into love our neighbors. Do you believe that God can do this? Do you believe that he can transform your neighborhood, your family, your work environment? Do we really believe that? I mean, sometimes we walk around like we don't. We're fear-based. We're afraid-based. But Jesus literally looks at us with the same confidence as the two blind men standing in front of him and said, do you believe that I can do this? And literally the blind men turned around and said, yes, Lord. And he did. He healed those people. And if Jesus gave that authority then, he can bring that authority now over this situation, over this sermon, over this series. Yes, Jesus can do it. And why? Because Jesus began to do it. He began to model what he was saying. He was more than a preacher on a stage. He was literally someone who habitually lived this lifestyle. And in verse 35 of the same chapter, laying the foundation right here, I'm just laying a foundation. In verse 35, it says, Jesus went through all the cities and villages. He was in the neighborhood. Right? He was in the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every disease and every affliction. Everyone say every. Every disease and every affliction. Every disease and every affliction. If I was a rap artist, I would go really hard right there. But literally it said that Jesus was walking through the neighborhood and he healed every disease and every affliction. Pretty strong foundation right there, isn't it? He says that he saw the crowds and he had compassion for them because, you ready? They were harassed. They were helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Then he looked to his disciples. These were the men that were supposed to be his best mates. These were the men that were in the gang alongside of him. And after he healed all their afflictions and all their disease, and after saw how they were helpless and hopeless, Jesus looked to the men that he was pouring the kingdom of God into, and this is what he said. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers or the laborers are few. Therefore, pray. Everyone say pray. Earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers or laborers into his harvest fields. Do you see the foundation that Jesus gives us as we've built this series around love your neighbor? Jesus literally did it. He walked around and saw. He walked around spirit-empowered and felt the people that were around him. He felt sorry, compassionate. Grace and mercy began to go out of him, and he healed all, not in churches, but in streets. Have you ever heard the term low-hanging fruit? It's like the apple tree that's beaming with apples. There's fruit falling off of it, and we know the weight of that fruit on the end of the branches causes the branch to what? Sag down at the lowest point, so even a child could walk up and grab the apple, grab the orange, grab the grapes. Literally, the harvest of the tree is beaming over so hard that what? Even children can grab the fruit. And Jesus is showing us through his life in Matthew chapter 9 that there are low-hanging fruits all around us that if we will open our eyes, get bold in our compassion, then we also can do what Jesus did. Literally, church, if we will open our eyes, we will see that there are people literally out on a limb. And in Luke chapter 19, we see that literally there was this man in verse 1. that Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was this man named Zacchaeus. Everyone say Zacchaeus. Oh, there's the connection, Kyle. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. He was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree to see Jesus, for Jesus was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him and said, Zacchaeus, hurry down, come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received Jesus joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. Who saw it? The Sadducees, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, all the haters. When they saw it, it said they grumbled. For now he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Can you hear him scoffing? And Zacchaeus stood and said by Jesus the Lord, behold, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've defrauded or cheated anyone of anything, I'll restore it and give it back four times. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save that what was lost. To seek and save that what was lost. I want you to see the first position Jesus took in the story was that his first position was that he was on the streets. This wasn't something he put on the calendar. I want you to see today that most of our ministry, most of the moments that we have impact in people's lives are through what I call pass-through moments. It's not something I write in on my iCal and put as a reoccurring daily thing on Mondays and Thursdays. This is not something we do on Saturday morning. And all of those evangelistic outreaches are good and needed, and we must do them. But the majority of the people that we will influence come through past moments in our lives. To where what? We're by the water cooler. By what? We're at a soccer game. Oh, by what? We're just passing through church, and instead of getting in here and out of here as fast as we can, we see somebody that may be on the same row as us that's hurting. Maybe it's a phone call to a grandma or grandpa, and getting through all the details of the phone call is about, you hear hurt and pain. Jesus did ministry through pass-through moments. Read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you'll see that he didn't have it on his calendar or his itinerary. It was pass-through moments. One of my favorite scriptures of Jesus on the streets is this. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says, you know Jesus, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power, how he went about doing good, healing all those who are oppressed and afflicted by the devil, comma, for God was with him. I often, Keith Motley, put my name in substitute there. And I often will say this, just to give me power, just to give me strength, because Jesus called me to do what he did. I will often say, you know, Kyle, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power, how he went about doing good, healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. God is with me. God is for me. Are you following me today? You could do the same thing today. You insert your name. You insert your name and say, hey, God has anointed me to what? Go about the streets and do his work and kick devil butt and let God shine and let light shine and love on your neighbors. Why? Because God is with us, fighting for us. Listen to me. He wants to give us success more than we do. And if we step out and begin to grab that low-hanging fruit, we'll begin to see revolution in our culture. We'll begin to see revolution in our neighborhoods. Jesus walked on the streets, and so should we. So as he's walking on the streets, let's continue in the story. We see that he encounters a man that was literally out on a limb. We know this man to be named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was literally on the top of a tree. He was perched up here. Why? Because there was an obstacle in front of him, his stature. Now we know the root word of Zacchaeus' name literally means, his name meant, you may not have known this, pure and innocent. How ironic, isn't it? The culture and the people, society hated Zacchaeus because he was not pure and he was not innocent. He was the opposite. In fact, we see through the story reading the end that he had cheated people. He had robbed people. In fact, tax collectors in those days were stinky. No one wanted to be around them. No one wanted to go to them for service. Everyone knew that they cheated and defrauded everyone. So when Jesus called Zacchaeus, he was looking at his inner righteousness, not his outer unrighteousness. And that's the way God ultimately begins to look at you and me and the people that are in our neighborhoods and families and in our workplaces. When he looks at them, he looks at the inner righteousness that is untapped inside of them. When he looks at us, he doesn't look at us as a liar. He doesn't look at us as a cheater. He doesn't look at us as a fornicator. He doesn't look at us as a drug addict or an alcoholic. He looks at us as pure and righteous, untapped potential. But it sure did make a mess that day when Jesus looked at the pure and unrighteous and everyone else said, why? Why would you, pure and righteous, go to the unrighteous? But in Zacchaeus' life, there was an obstacle, wasn't it? An obstacle that he was short and everyone was crowded around and he couldn't see Jesus. So my question to you in just this moment is, what are the obstacles that are around the people in our lives that we need to reach and love on? We have an opportunity to really untackle and push back those obstacles so that what? So that people can find Jesus. There are obstacles in everyone's lives, aren't there? Sometimes it's a marriage. Sometimes it's kids. Sometimes it's a bad job. We could go on and on down the list of what obstacles that are there that people don't find Christ, can't we? Our job then is to uncover it and let Jesus begin to shine. At the end of the day, the obstacles, the name, the past, all the stuff that was working against Zacchaeus, at the end of the day, Jesus saw Zacchaeus. He saw him. So let's pause for a moment in the story, because you understand that this story is really to promote us being like Jesus, that we should walk around the streets at what we're telling you and love on your neighbors. We hopefully will be able to see low-hanging fruit, people out on a limb trying to get attention because they're in hurt and pain. There was something in Zacchaeus' life that he knew he needed purpose. He knew he needed healing. He knew there was sin in his life, and he knew somewhere along the way that he'd heard about Jesus and wanted to connect with him. But I want to pause for a second, because yes, we're supposed to be Jesus, but I want you to see that in moments of our life, we're also called to be Zacchaeus. I want to applaud Zacchaeus for a moment. I want to applaud Zacchaeus. Why? Because Zacchaeus did something that day no one else was willing to do, and because he did it, he got something that no one else got. Zacchaeus climbed a little higher, didn't he? And oh, yes, we're supposed to be Jesus and walk on the streets, but there are moments in our lives where we're supposed to be a little different too and climb a little higher to get a hold of Jesus. When was the last time that you were so passionate about Jesus, you climbed a little higher? When were you so passionate about Jesus, you got up a little earlier and prayed? When was the last time you stayed in that conversation a little longer? When was the last time you worshiped with reckless abandon? I applaud Zacchaeus. He may have been impure. He may have not been innocent, but he did something that day to get on a different plane to where Jesus could spot him and see it. He simply climbed higher. And I got to tell you today that I have never, ever, ever seen anyone do anything great for God that stayed in the middle of a crowd. Because in the middle of the crowd, there is excuse. In the middle of the crowd, there's complaint. In the middle of the crowd, it's just stagnant. But God looks at us and says, if you will climb higher and you will risk it all and you will stand up, I will do extraordinary things. I will notice you and watch what happened as Zacchaeus was on top of the tree. He was out on a limb. He got Jesus. In fact, Jesus walking by doing what he did, he said, Zacchaeus, you come down out of that tree and I want to go to your house. And he comes in the house at the risk of being made fun of, didn't he? He came into the house and all these religious leaders are like, dude, what are you doing? You shouldn't be with those people. And listen, to all of us in our attempts to go after God and all of us in our attempts to love our neighbors, we got to shake the haters off, don't we? We got to be willing to risk it all to love on someone who's unlovable, that might not be pure, it might not be righteous. We got to not listen to the people, because anytime you really step out and do anything great for God, there's going to be people around you that are skeptical and don't believe it and don't think it's right. But Jesus shook off the haters and began to love on a man that needed it most. When we look at the story, we see that when Scripture tells us he went to his house, culturally, it meant he spent the night. That means Jesus got his, I don't know, Bob the Builder sleeping bag, Dora the Explorer sleeping bag. I don't know if Jesus brought his pizza rolls for the midnight snack, if he brought his special little pillow. I don't know, but Zacchaeus got something that no one else got. He got Jesus with a sleepover. And Jesus comes and stays in his house. So you followed me. And in this house, all of a sudden, there wasn't an altar call. Jesus didn't have a sermon that had 4 points and they all start with P. Jesus simply loved his neighbor who needed it most. You just caught that. He loved his neighbor who needed it most, didn't he? And out of that moment, that intimate moment, can you imagine just sitting there in that house, what had to have been churning inside Zacchaeus? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is confession. And where Zacchaeus found himself was in a house where he began to repent and confess. And out of that crazy altar call, he declares to Jesus, he stands up and declares, I will give half of my possessions to the poor, and I will repay everyone that I've cheated four times over. Wow, what a house. What a house. And that same house is for us, that I believe that if the Spirit is on us, people will begin to repent. People will begin to chalk up the things that are in their lives. I don't know, it just happens to me. I don't know if I'm so bold and crazy that when I'm around people, they just like to confess stuff. But I get around people and I'm like, I got 10 minutes. And all of a sudden they're telling me all the stuff in their life. They robbed the bank. They killed a dog. They cheated on their grandma. I'm like all this stuff going on. And I'm like, what in the world just happened? Listen, when the Spirit of God is there, there is confession and there is repentance. And you and I find ourselves in those house situations. Intimacy happens and lives are changed. And then out of that moment, what happened? Jesus begins to declare the statement that echoes throughout all generations. In that moment in the house, Jesus stood up and said, my mission, my love is for everyone. And today, salvation is here. Like Jacob would say in the middle of that last song, it is aquí. Jesus es aquí. He's here. For you too are a son of Abraham. And my mission for everyone is to seek and save that which is lost. So watch what happened to the religious leaders and the scoffers and the haters. Watch what happened. They even got more upset because Jesus, twofold, looked at Zacchaeus and said, I am salvation. Like, you're looking at him. You see, because all of them were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the coming of the Son of God. And Jesus was declaring to them in the first part of his ministry that I am the salvation. So Zacchaeus got salvation in two forms, in person and in heart. He got it in person and in heart. And what he also found out was is that salvation connected him to Abraham's family, that he was no longer a stranger. He was no longer an alien. He was no longer an outsider. Jesus, by providing salvation that day in that intimate home, did what? Brought him in with the same relatives that were scoffing and hating. He now is connected to cousins and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters. And those religious leaders had to look in Zacchaeus and said, there's no way. There's no way you could be one of our brothers. You're too unrighteous. You're too unholy. You've done too many bad things. And if you were one of our brothers, there's no way you're that bad. But Jesus broke those relational laws by saying, salvation, mission, my love is for everyone, for everyone. And Zacchaeus was adopted into the family. So here we have kind of the little following here. I just want to sum up. I'm almost done. Jesus was spirit empowered. What did he do? He got on the street level. And that's what we're calling all of you to do. He just was on the street level and began to walk through Walmarts and Waffle Houses. He began to walk up in Grapevine Mills Mall. And he began to walk up into Torchy's Tacos. And he walked up into KFC Fried Chicken. Come on, Jesus was on a street level, the majority, looking for low-hanging fruits. For people who were without a shepherd, for people who didn't have hope, for people who were lost and in pain. And Jesus saw what? On the tree level, there was a man named Zacchaeus that was all the way up here. It actually wasn't even hard to see. He was so low hanging that he says, I want you to come down. So from the street level, he looked up to the tree level. And then from the tree level, he brought him down to the house level where discipleship happened. He brought him down to the house level where change happened. He brought him down to the house level where repentance and confession happens. It doesn't just happen on the street and it can't hang on the tree. It has to get down to an intimate level in a relationship as we love our neighbors. And so it transacts from street to tree to house, from street to tree to house. This has got to be the repetition, the sounds of our lives. As our church grows, as our families grow, and as our faith grows. So this week, we want to challenge you to go to your neighbors. Oh, the first week we challenge you to get to your family is a little easier. The second week we challenge you, what? Coworkers, classmates, and colleagues. But this week, we're asking you to step out and be a little more bold, spirit-empowered, guide to lead me, show me which house, which address, which car, but let me step out in faith. And these are your five activation points this week. You ready? We want you to maybe, you can pick one of these, you can pick multiple of these. We want you to check on the elderly and offer assistance. Come on, that's taking care of the family of God. This is good. Maybe they need a window clean. Maybe the toilet's running and you gotta go put the stopper in, or maybe put the new plunger in. Go help the elderly. This is a good thing to do as a church. You're looking at me like I'm crazy right now. Okay, how about the next one? Go help with yard work, a Saturday home project. You know, there's always somebody moving something, mowing something, trimming something, putting tile in. There's always movement in your neighborhoods, right? So go and just be of assistance. Number three, have a sidewalk conversation about them. This is one of my favorites. I like to move up and down the streets and just check on people. How you doing? In the driveway. I don't go in their house and butt in and barge in. No, right there on the sidewalk, right there in the driveway. Have a conversation. Ask them, how's your life? How's your family? How's your marriage? How are things going? And you'll be crazily, wildly how people open up and share their lives. It's a low-hanging fruit. Fourth, have a welcome to the neighborhood gift basket or baked goods. Take something over like Casey did. Number five, maybe if you're bold enough, if you know them, you had a relationship, maybe you've lived in that neighborhood long enough, invite them over. Invite them over for a meal, a Saturday lunch, a Saturday evening breakfast, coffee and cake, or whatever you want to do. This is what we want our church to be about. Loving our neighbors. Street level, tree level, down to my house level. And if we will begin to do that, this church will grow, our family will grow, our faith will grow, and we'll see God empower us in a new way. And you as a church will have more boldness and confidence to keep doing it and doing it and doing it. Come on, stand up on your feet right now.